Welcome to the Midday.
It was Norman and Vicky, and in a few moments, a special guest. We're going to start with an overture to an operetta that's being produced in Milwaukee this weekend. The Florentine Opera will bring The Merry Widow to the stage Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but more about that later.
This is The Overture to The Merry Widow by Lehar from the Berlin Radio Symphony Orchestra with Mikhail Yurovsky conducting. Didn't they have fun with that?
Oh, a lot of great melodies and a wonderful, lush Viennese sound.
That was The Overture to The Merry Widow, the 1905 operetta by Franz Lehár. We heard the Berlin Radio Symphony with Mikhail Yurovsky conducting.
And as we mentioned earlier, the Florentine Opera in Milwaukee will be performing The Merry Widow this weekend, the 16th, 17th, and 18th at Eline Hall. And in Milwaukee to sing the role of Hannah is soprano Diane Alexander. And if all goes well, we'll say hello to Diane right now.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, and welcome to the Midday.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today.
I'm glad we could be with you, and you could be with us and tell us about The Merry Widow.
I'm wondering if you could, to begin with, outline the plot of this love triangle.
Well, it is a very complicated but fun plot. I have to say, it's, of course, the story of Hannah Glavary, and I'm playing Hannah, the Merry Widow. She has recently been widowed and has inherited $20 million, and she's being pursued by many Parisians. And the show opens where we're in an embassy ball at the Pontevedrian embassy in Paris. And we found out that the fictitious country of Pontevedro has gone bankrupt. And so the Baron Zeta wants to try and keep Hannah's money in the country. So it's really more or less a story of her being pursued by many men. But they've discovered that she does have a history with the former Count Danilo Danilovich. And the whole story goes around her trying to get him to say that he loves her again, but he doesn't want to marry her for the money. So it's basically a story of their romantic ties from the past and their love for each other still. But there's a lot of subplots going on, a lot of flirtatious things happening and subplots. So it's a lot of fun and can be a little confusing at times, too.
Singing this auf Deutsch, are you? Or are you with subtitles, super titles, or how are you going to do that?
This is in English. I think typically the show is done in English in this country. We will have surtitles above the stage. The music is, of course, in English also. So this show is very interesting because this will be my 14th production of The Merry Widow, believe it or not.
14th production.
Wow.
Yes. I think I'm the Merry Widow queen. I'm happy to say it's a really wonderful show, but I've done so many productions and I have about 8 different translations in my head, so it at times can get a little frustrating.
Must be fun trying to get the cues to come out right.
Well, you know, once I get in the heat of the moment, sometimes I'm on stage and an old translation will come out, so I'll have to ask the audiences to forgive me if the surtitles don't match exactly what I say.
Oh, that too, sure.
Yeah.
They'll get the gist of it.
Exactly. It's so much fun, and we have a wonderful, wonderful cast. It's really been fun. I've been reunited with a lot of old colleagues in this particular production, so we're actually having a wonderful rehearsal process and a lot of fun discovering things about the show. A lot of the people in the cast are doing it for the first time, so it's nice for me. I get to bring a lot of experience to it, but also I get to help people out with ideas and things because I feel like I've done this show enough that I really know these characters very well.
Some pretty spiffy costumes, I imagine.
Gorgeous, gorgeous costumes. I love this show, and I love this production. I've actually worked on this set before in Hawaii and also in Reno. I've worn these same costumes and worked on this set, and it's a gorgeous production that came from Utah. So I think the audience will be thrilled with the production and the costumes.
Now, I noticed that this is not your first time on the Florentine stage. You've sung other roles there?
Yes, this is my second time back to Milwaukee, and I'm happy to say it's at a nicer time of year. last time I was here in, I believe, February in 03, and it was brutally cold, and this time we just really lucked out with the weather. But I was here in 03 doing Of Mice and Men. So quite the opposite from The Merry Widow, a very dark and depressing show where this is just froth and champagne and funness.
And somewhere in between, I didn't even know there was an opera of this. This was a Chapter a Day selection many years ago, and I really enjoyed talking to the author of it. Cold Sassy Tree, world premiere with the Houston Grand Opera.
That's right. You got to speak with Carlisle.
Well, and actually with the opera of the book, Olive Ann Burns.
Oh, Olive Ann Burns. Okay. Fantastic, yeah. Carlisle, I've actually sung a lot of his operas, Susanna and Of Mice and Men, and then had the pleasure of being in the world premiere of Cold Sassy Tree. I think it's probably the last full-length opera that he will have written. He's in his 80s now.
It is a major undertaking.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And I have to say it was such a pleasure to hear the overture to The Merry Widow, because a lot of times, I don't know why, but in a lot of the productions that I do, the overture is not very often played. And I don't know if that's because of if it's difficult to get the parts or money or the timing, because it is a long show. And I know that there's always a concern about going into overtime, so I really enjoyed hearing that overture today.
Well, as an overture should for an operetta or a musical, it folds all the great hit tunes, or at least refers to all of them, and you have some preview of what you have to look forward to.
It sure does, and boy, Lehar was so diverse. I think you could hear all the different styles of music in that overture, and you hear them again throughout the entire show, the beautiful waltzes, the marches. He was famous for marches and polkas, but this was his most famous operetta, for sure.
Yeah, so he wrote this at the age of 35, and he kept writing for another 42 years, I think, but he never managed to top this.
No, oh, wow, that's amazing. And I have to say also in this particular production, it's not always done, but in the third act, we are interpolating a couple of different numbers that are not always in the third act. I'm going to be singing Meine Lippen, or On My Lips Every Kiss Is Like Wine, from Giuditta. So it's another one of his operettas, and we're interpolating this particular number in the third act.
Very interesting. Is that often done?
Well, in my experience, usually something is interpolated in the third act. It's kind of like, you know, the second act of Fledermaus, where you have random acts show up and in the middle of act two at the party scene, you know. Sometimes companies have comedians show up and do a comic act, you know, or a famous politician in the area or something like that. But this is going to kind of encapsulate the theme of that we're going for the third act.
It still has some of those classic operatic digressions, like that whole song Velia really has nothing to do with the plot, but it's one of the great highlights of the opera.
It is, and I think that's also important for audiences to know that operetta really is like our modern day version of musical theater. Only with operetta, you really have to have true singers, real opera singers, singing this music. I think it's the type of genre of music that's a lot of times underestimated at how difficult it is, because the plot is often not serious opera. You know, it's funny and it's comic, but yet the music is very serious as far as how difficult it is to sing.
We're wondering if you're polishing up your waltz steps. Is this actually do you actually waltz with Danilo on stage?
Yes, and
Joe Stopper, I'll bet.
quite a sensation in some of the early performances, I know.
Yeah, there's a lot of waltzing. We have a wonderful group of dancers with us, and Sarah, our choreographer, who's actually from the Milwaukee area, but she recently moved to California. She's done a terrific job with putting together some beautiful waltzes in the first act, and then some true ethnic type dancing in the second act. And I do get to dance with Donnie Lowe. And my Donnie Lowe is Philip Cutlip, who is an old friend of mine. We were on tour together in the early 1990s, dare I say, in doing La Traviata around the country with San Francisco Opera's traveling company. Mm-hmm. And so Philip and I have known each other for a long time. And this is the first time he's done Donnie Lowe, and I always joke with him that I've had to break in, you know, 14 Donnie Lowes. And
sounds like the Merry Widow to me.
I know, and it's true. Every single time I've worked with somebody, they're petrified of the dancing. So we go back to our hotel and we practice in the hallways.
and that's something you charge admission for.
Exactly. No, it's really romantic. I think that the audiences are really going to appreciate the romance and the fun of this show.
That sounds like a great time to me. 1905, a great time for costumes and shameless romance on stage. The Merry Widow.
Absolutely. And the rest of the cast, you're going to, it's a real top-notch cast. We have comedians and beautiful singing, and we're just having such a wonderful time putting it together. We've been here now for 2.5 weeks, and it's amazing the work that goes into something like this and putting together a show like this when we come from all different areas, and you just kind of, it's like making minestrone soup or something, you know? Or goulash, I should say.
I guess.
Hungarian goulash. Yes, Hungarian goulash.
How tasty.
Exactly. Exactly.
And nobody goes away hungry.
That's right.
That's true. I think everybody's appetites are definitely satisfied.
Well, you're opening Friday night at Eline Hall, and performances Friday the 16th, Saturday the 17th, and Sunday the 18th. And it's a production by the Florentine Opera, The Merry Widow by Franz Lehár. And we've been speaking with Diane Alexander. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And if anybody would like ticket information, they can go to www.florentineopera.org for tickets or call the box office at 414-291-5700, extension 224.
Excellent.
Break some legs.
Thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure.
You.
Now back to The Merry Widow, and this time it will be the waltz.
Oh, why not? Yes, I think we have to hear that waltz after that description.